hollers every now and then. But there's three ways that you can do that. We talked about protect your thought world. And then we talked about protecting your spiritual world. And finally, protect your peace with God. We have to do those kind of things. Well, we looked at that a few weeks ago, and then last week we said, well, how do you make that strong man strong? I know he's inside of me. I know I got to protect him. But tell me, how really? Well, we took five tests last week. We took a sin test. In other words, with the unpardonable sin. And one thing we learned is the only way to commit an unpardonable sin is to reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't reject him as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to worry about that unpardonable sin. But then we went beyond that and we saw there was a fruit test. Well, in other words, a tree produces fruit. We talked about a lip test that inside of us. You ever hear somebody giving you a bunch of lip? That's what I'm talking about. When somebody gives you a bunch of lip, where's it coming from, you know? Deep down inside of us, there's this strong man. And what's he filled with? Well, we looked at him. And then the works test, well, a good man out of good treasures produces good things. We looked at that last week, and finally we saw that, well, there was a word test. In that word test, we're going to be either acquitted by our words, we're going to be made holy, we're going to be made just by our words, or we're going to be condemned by our words. Nobody else's. It's your words. It's what you say, what's come out of your well, what's come deep and down out of your well. You know, what's down in the well is going to come up in a bucket. So it's what you say. Now, what we're going to do real hurriedly this morning, I want you to look at how to protect the house. And we're looking at Matthew chapter 12 as we continue our study through here. And it's kind of interesting in Matthew chapter 12, we'll pick it up with verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." Oh, one request. Was that too bad? Teacher, we won't now, but now look who's asking, okay? First of all, you got the scribes. The scribes had a professional job of taking the Word of God and writing it one letter at a time. That's what they did for a living. So therefore, they were known for knowing the Word of God. Many people thought they were authority. Whoa, but wait a minute. What Jesus going to say about these guys? Because they were filled with pride. I mean, they were all filled up inside of themselves. And in this one request, there was another group there called the Pharisees. The Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees, Josephus said, there were only about 6,000 of them during the day of Jesus. But folks, they had political control. It's kind of like the White House. You know what I mean? White House has control of the nation. Even so, the Pharisees had control of the synagogues, which was, in the way we think, the churches. Because the churches were so strong in the area of Jerusalem and all, whoever controlled in that area was a vital, vital power. Now, the scribes said, "Jesus, we want to see a sign." I hear them talking like that. "Jesus, we want to see a sign." The Pharisees, come on now. You know who we are. Show us a sign. Well, think about this guy. All of a sudden, here's this guy inside of me that starts wrestling. I don't want the devil to take over. I don't want him to get me. In fact, inside of me, you can know the right thing, but do you have the power to accomplish it? Let's see. Let's see if you do. Let's see if you have the power to accomplish it. In other words, 2 Timothy 3:5 says, "Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, ever learning and never able to come to knowledge of the truth." There are those who are always learning, 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 but never getting down to where it counts. And that's power. You see, the strong man inside of you has got to have power if he's going to connect. And the principle behind this is the strong man must have power from Jesus if he's going to defeat the demons, or folks, he's going to be lured into friendship with the world. And the Bible says friendship with the world is an enemy with God. So folks, do you have the power to stand strong? That little man inside of you, has he got enough guts? Has he got enough courage to know what's right and not only know it, but to do it? Well, one request, that's all he had. But let's go to the second one. There's two observations that we're going to see in the next verse. But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Oh boy, I love Jonah. Y'all know that guy? Yeah, he's the guy that ate the big fish, right? He had a fish fry, right? No, he was swallowed up. That's old Jonah. I mean, he was the bait. He was the popping bug. I mean, he was the one who got swallowed up. Well, anyhow, we're going to talk about Jonah in a minute. Before we get there, there's two observations that Jesus made about these groups of scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, the culture of the country. And what was it? Two things. One, there was evil. An adjective describing the nectar, describing the community. It was that of being evil. In an ethical sense, it was wicked. And then it said an adulterous generation. Well, when we think about the word adultery, all of a sudden our mind kicks into sex, okay? I mean, that's what we think about in our world. But in the world in which he was speaking of right here, he was not dealing with that, but he was saying, look, if an Israelite started messing around with another god, then that was committing adultery against the Lord God of heaven. That's impure. So that's what he's talking about right here. He's saying this nation, this group of people, has quit focusing in on me, the Lord God of heaven, and started messing around with the gods of this world. So Jesus said, look, two things have happened. When you move away from me, this is what's going to happen. Ethically speaking, you're going down. You're going down. That's what he's telling us right there, because he says in James 4:4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enemy with God? Excuse me. Wherefore, whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is an enemy with God. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine upon them. Proverbs 26:27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? What do we know? What do we know? This is what he's trying to tell us. When you may move away from the power of God and you start flirting, it's like taking coals. Can you dig coals up close to you and get away with it? No, you're going to get burned. If you walk on coals, your feet's going to burn. If you start flirting with the God of this world, who is the God of this world, by the way? The devil. The devil. The Bible said right there, we read it a while ago, that Satan is the devil. He is the God of this world. And if you start messing around with him, all of a sudden, you watch it, your ethics will start trending down. I was talking with my boy this week. We had lunch together. And he says, you know, Daddy, he says, I can see it in the relationship between me and my wife. He says, if I miss Wednesday night, that's something. But if I miss Wednesday night and I miss Sunday morning and Sunday night, he says, it affects our marriage. Now, I didn't pull that out of him, but that's what he told me. If you don't connect, you're not going to have the power. If you start flirting around with the things that honor God, you're going down. Because we see there's two observations, so therefore I want to bring three witnesses before you. Three witnesses right here, let's read them. In chapter 12, I'm picking up with verse 39 again for emphasis sake. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Then the men of Nineveh will rise up in the day of judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah's here. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. Wow. Let me give you three quick witnesses right here. Witness number one, Jonah. Jonah, the guy that got swallowed up by the whale in the book of Jonah, the guy that, he was a rebellious preacher. And listen, folks, nothing stinks more than a rebellious preacher, okay? I'm just telling you. I mean, he was regurgitated. But anyhow, he went on and he started preaching. But he was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. Even so, if we're going to understand the power of the strong man, if we're going to protect our house, if we're going to avoid connecting in and flirting with the world, then we've got to understand what Jesus is saying right here. Jesus is saying this. Look at Jonah. Look at Jonah. What do you know about Jonah? As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, what do you know? The resurrection. And that's the key, folks. That's the key. The word was given right here. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If this man inside of me is going to be strong, he's got to know the key, and that's the resurrection. He's got to hear it. He's got to understand it. Secondly, though, then all of a sudden we look at the men of Nineveh. Nineveh. Hey, the Ninevites. Boy, you go in that country. Man, that country was so bad when God told Jonah, you go preach to those guys so that they'll get saved and not get destroyed. Jonah, this prophet of God, said, forget that. He knew that city was so bad, he wanted them to burn. He wanted God to get out the big zapper and zap them. That's what he wanted them to do. Ultimately, he had to go. Ultimately, what happened was the men of Nineveh, who were the cruelest, most vicious men alive, they heard. And you know what they did? They repented. If this strong man inside of us is going to be strong and powerful, he's got to connect to the resurrection. If this strong man inside of us is going to be heard, going to be strong, he's got to repent. Listen, there's not a one of us in here that doesn't need to repent of our sins. Folks, I could go to every one of your closets, and if I started pulling the junk out of that, you'd be ashamed and I'd be red-faced. Every one of us, we got it in our closet. What that means is every one of us are sinners. Every one of us. We need to come to the foot of the cross and say, okay, God, that was me, Lord, I lied. That was me, Lord, I cheated. That was me, Lord, I looked at the wrong magazine. That was me, Lord, I was on the internet with the pornography. God, that was me. That was me, Lord, who stole that over there. That was me, Lord, who smoked that. That was me, Lord, that drank that. That was me, Lord, that cursed that. That was me, Lord, and I'm sorry. Wow. All of a sudden, you're not worse than the Ninevites. And if God saved them, God saves you. And He'll empower you. You see what's happening? All of a sudden, there's the resurrection. All of a sudden, there's repentance. And then look, there's one step further. There's wisdom. There's wisdom. Queen of Sheba, one more, I was fixing to say foxy lady, but that wouldn't be right. But anyhow, one more smart lady that came, that wanted to hear from Solomon, God's wise man. And you know what she did? She went there, she heard, and she responded to the wisdom. And you know what Jesus said? Somebody greater than Solomon is standing before you. If you want that strong man inside of you to become stronger and to protect your house, he's got to get some wisdom, folks. He's got to get some knowledge. He's got to get some wisdom inside of him, or else he's going to fall. I'm telling you, it's the facts. Jesus pointed out three witnesses. One, the resurrection. Two, repentance. Three, get some knowledge, some wisdom. Get in the Word of God and let it become a part of you. Because that leads you up to the last thing. What is really at stake? I want you to see what is really at stake right here. Because when you begin to read this last thing from the Lord Jesus, folks, this I told some folks today, this week, I said, this makes me afraid. I'm telling you, this is the one that got me. All right, let's read it. Matthew chapter 12, I'm picking up with verse 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered and they dwelled there, and the last estate of the man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. Here it is, guys. When you get what's really at stake, you only have a short period of time to invite the Lord Jesus. You know, there's certain periods of time in your life where everything's running smart, good. And all of a sudden, maybe you went through a rough and rugged time. We all do. We all do. We all do. And all of a sudden, there's this breakaway. Maybe the demonic spirit quit fighting you. Maybe for whatever reason, that spirit got kicked out of you. And he goes around and listen, demons will never be satisfied roaming. They're only going to be satisfied when they find somebody and they take over. That's what the devil does. That's what the demons do. They try to take over. They try to go inside of the man, find the strong man, bind him down, and steal everything he's got. All of a sudden, the strong man rises up here for a moment. The demon has to leave. He goes to the desert. That's where demons go. This man cleans his life up. He walks. He talks. He feels good about himself. I mean, he's doing all right now. He's not in trouble. Everything seems to be going okay. The strong man thinks he's got it all together, but wait a minute. If the strong man doesn't invite Jesus in, this is what's going to happen. In the course of time, when that demon, who's out there in the wilderness roaming around, he gets tired of that, he comes back and he says, interesting thing right here, he said, I will return to my house, not the strong man's house. I will return to my house. And all of a sudden, this demon says, I'm coming back and I'm going to take over. And when I take over, it's not going to just be me, but I'm going to get seven demons more wicked than me. And the Bible says these seven come in, they take over, the strong man's bound, the house is destroyed. And the Bible says this, the last is worse than the first. Do you catch it? You only got just a little bit of time right there to bring Jesus into your life, or else you ain't seen nothing yet. Because when he comes back and he brings seven bad boys with him, worse off. This man needs some family in his life. I want you to see the family that Jesus is willing to offer. We're going to pick it up with verse 46. He says, while he was still talking to the multitude, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside, seeking with to speak him. Then one of him said, look, your mother and your brother are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whosoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and my sister, and my brother, my mother, and my sister. Wow. That strong man inside of you needs family. And who's the family? Jesus said, it's not how you were born. It's not who you were born to. It's not where you live. It's not where you were raised. Jesus said, my family are the ones who do the will of the Father. We need the church, folks, to become stronger. We need Christ in our life to defeat the wicked one. We need each other. And we know that the family right here, the family of God right here, will encourage and will strengthen you and will help you. The Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken, but two. Blessed is the man that has two, because if one falls, the other one picks it up. If one demon comes in and slaps you across the face, you got a friend right there that said, demon, you hit the track, man, because I'm going to pray for this guy. I'm going to stand by this guy. I'm going to be with this guy. And all of a sudden, that man inside of you gets stronger. The house. question is, who's living in the house? What do you need to know? You need to know the resurrection, the power of the gospel. You need to know repentance. You need to know repentance. What else do you need to know? Hey, you need to know God's Word. You need to get it inside of you. And then what else do you need to do? Last thing, you just need to do it. You need to do it. Know it, do it. Know it, do it. And you can start right now. You can start right now. By doing what? By saying, Jesus, I need help. That's it. That's all you have to say. Jesus, I need help. This man inside of me has been bruised, beat up, kicked on, spit on, and Satan's done everything in the world to destroy me. But Jesus, I got a window right here. I want you to come in. I want you to come in. Folks, if you'll do that, Christ will come in. You may have been a Christian for 20 years. That man inside of you may be being beat up right now, and you need some family. You need some family. Hey, grab hold. Grab hold. Prayer altar is going to be open. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus this morning, just come say, Robert, I've had fits. I need Jesus. You come on. I'll share with you. I'll share with you. You come on. What's Jesus saying to you today? What's the need in your life today? Let's stand up and sing as people come forward to pray, people come forward to give their life to Jesus, people come forward to join this church. What's your need right now? Strengthen that man. Let's pray.